Hurricane Milton, now a Category 1, moving off the coast of Florida into the Atlantic and expected to push out away from landmass. And as the light of day will come here shortly, we'll see what damage it has done so far, Paul.
And we'll also learn how many people were killed by the storm surge and the flash flooding as well, reported widely from, you name it, Tampa in a radius going to the south and east. And, you know, and I don't know what happened over in the eastern coast yet, but those 85-mile-an-hour winds are going to do damage there, too.
One of the iconic scenes is the fabric roof over Tropicana Field, which was supposed to be an emergency evacuation shelter, was ripped off. 14 inches of rain in that area, and we're looking at a lot of wind damage. But what was really surprising to many, Florida does not get that many tornadoes compared to other states like Tornado Alley. This touched off at least 20 tornadoes, 12 of which did touch down and did a multitude of damage.
Yeah. We're going to be hearing about this through the day today and probably into tomorrow before we have a full picture of the damage. When I was doing this report yesterday at this time, we were thinking the estimate on damage possibilities was like around $175 billion. But then yesterday, before I went to bed, I saw an estimate of like $250 billion.
It's hard to wrap your mind around the level of damage. And then some people were asking, well, it seems like we have storms every year. Yes, we do. It's just that the storms seem to be more intense overall, and some of the places they have reached in terms of making landfall, for instance, in the Sarasota-Bradenton area yesterday, just before 9 p.m. last night, as we talked to our friend Elliot, they've never had one in his 30-plus years there make a direct hit. And so the Gulf has record temperatures, and that's the fuel for these storms. And this one developed and then intensified very quickly.
Yes, it's western-moving storms that seem to get to the Florida cities that are least hit by hurricanes. Jacksonville is another one that's, I can't remember a time in the time we've been covering hurricanes that they took a direct hit in Jacksonville. They've had storms come in from the west coast and pass over the city as a weakened storm and do a lot of damage that way, but not a direct hit like they've just received in Sarasota and Bradenton. And as we talked yesterday, this storm formed off the coast of the eastern coast of Mexico in the Gulf, and then it headed east. We hardly ever see that happen.
Yeah, it's very rare. And as we get damage and rescue operation reports, we'll continue to keep you updated. Meanwhile, a lot of Pittsburghers reaching out and from our region to help. Utility crews, West Penn Power, also the Red Cross had sent volunteers looking for more. Brothers Brother Foundation is helping out, and a lot of organizations coordinating with the federal government and FEMA to get help to the people, in this case, of Florida. And the storm Helene 2 weeks ago now, it's going to be years before they clean up in the south, though they were not touched by this storm a second time, unlike Florida.
Well, they're still picking up the pieces in the mountains of North Carolina and eastern Kentucky. Northern Georgia, a lot of damage there as well, and parts of South Carolina near the state line with North Carolina, pretty bad.
And they were frantically trying to get the debris that they already had lined up along the streets in Florida from Helene because they didn't want that debris to become projectiles with these hurricane winds.
Well, Elliot told us yesterday that that they had picked up what was only 10% of what was lying around.
Right.
And people had been piling stuff up. Some of the pictures and video I saw yesterday of the piles of debris from Helene, and that was just a storm surge situation.
Right. They didn't have the super high winds like they did with this hurricane. So we'll continue to keep you updated here at home today. You almost feel guilty. The weather's going to be so nice. And our thoughts and prayers with the people dealing with this in Florida today.
And so many of our listeners have connections in Florida, especially Bradenton and Sarasota.
Yeah, all along, everywhere in Florida, really. And even if you don't have a direct connection, many people have at least visited or vacationed in Florida. And you just got a feel for the people down there.
So, yeah.
Here, The campaign continues in Pennsylvania. Donald Trump was in Reading yesterday, and former President Barack Obama to visit Pittsburgh.
Yes, he's going to start a tour in support of the Democratic nominee Kamala Harris this evening with a speech at the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse at Pitt. It's a get-out-the-vote thrust, and that's what he's going to be pitching as he goes from city to city. But that he is doing that here to begin the tour again indicates how important Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania is to both of the campaigns.
It's mind-blowing, really. And a lot of people talking about the big Penguin opener. But they laid a egg.
Boy.
A goose egg. The New York Rangers had 3 goals before the end of the first period, and they lost 6-0. And Mike Sullivan, their head coach, said, this is not who our team is. I hope not. That was disappointing.
It's not the way you want to start the season. I wore my Penguins pullover this morning.
And I had mine on yesterday.
In support of the, you know, trying to get them a little luck for going into the Detroit game tonight. But they were 0-3 on the power play. Obviously they were shut out, so there's that. And there were a lot of defensive breakdowns, and it was a mess. And I had friends who went to the game, and people were really fired up about going. And you imagine, can you walk in to? I mean, could it be any worse? I guess 8-0 or something like that. But well, you know, for the opening night, and everyone's. And by the way, the Pens did a beautiful tribute to the Goodrow brothers.
Yeah, they did
on the video screen before the game.
Oh, everything about the game, the lead up, the excitement was there, but just not on the ice. Unfortunately, I had a chance to go, and I was on the bubble, and I thought, nah, I better get some sleep. But I got to tell you a funny story. So I got home, and I had an issue with my TV. I wanted to put the game on. See the Pens game, right? And my TV didn't turn on. I couldn't get my television to work. This took like 15 minutes to figure out that something is wrong with the TV, right, Paul?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I realized that I could watch it on my phone because I have that app that connects to my DirecTV, and I was going to do it, and then all of a sudden it's 3-0. And I decided, I'm just going to go to bed. So it was a big...
you made the right choice.
Big dud. Hopefully they'll figure it out. They're in Detroit already tonight to face the Red Wings. The Odyssey app, take us with you wherever you go, AUDACY, and we'll keep you posted on breaking news, important weather information, and even high school sports. Tomorrow night we have our Friday Night Lights High School Game of the Week. Our team does a fantastic job. Still, slowly but surely, reports are coming in from Florida on what Milton has done and is still doing. And we mentioned Tropicana Field. And for those that don't know, it's just south of the Tampa area. It's where the Tampa Rays play baseball. And within a couple of hours, the winds tore the fabric roof off.
Tropicana Field. Who would have ever thought that would happen? It was built because of the changeable weather in Florida. It was built as a dome because they wanted to make sure that we could play games in inclement weather.
That was WTSP anchorman Dave Wagner. Sounded like most people down there, Paul, they were just shocked that that happened.
It reminds me of what the storm Katrina did to the roof of the Superdome. The roof stayed intact for the most part, but it tore up the surface bad. And it was eventually rain got in and there was some collapsing. But
yeah, in just a moment, we're going to take you to a friend and reporter in Tampa to get an update right after the news at the bottom of this half hour. Other stories making news locally, Elon Musk. So we know last Saturday he was in Butler with former President Donald Trump. Then he went to the Steelers game Sunday night, seemed to kind of fall in love with the region. Then he said Monday that he called Governor Josh Shapiro and wanted to invest in southwestern Pennsylvania because of our tech industry. And then, he's the owner of X, which used to be Twitter. He bought it for $44 million so he could have his own voice box. He's the CEO, though, remember, of Tesla. He's expected to announce sometime today a new company called RoboTaxi. Here's CBS's Ian Scherer.
Really represents is possibly a change in the way we all use and own cars. The idea that we would rely on a network of self-driving taxis instead of possibly owning a car that sits in our front yards when we're not using them.
And Pittsburgh, as many of you know, over the years has become the testing ground for all these autonomous vehicles and trucks. And I saw one yesterday, Paul. They're still using it. Now, it's manned, but...
Thank goodness.
The driver's not using, and some of the Teslas have the same technology that you can use. For instance, cruise control was a big breakthrough when it first was developed, and that was a long time ago, right, in a car. So if you're on the turnpike or highways, you could maintain a certain speed. But now some of these Teslas and other vehicles have this autonomous driving ability that people apparently are using. I would find it hard to let go of the wheel.
Well, I would find it hard to feel safe on the road, to be honest with you. I just don't like the idea.
We're not there yet.
Of an 18-wheeler that is being driven autonomously with no one there, you know, in case something goes wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, you got that much metal going fast with that much weight.
I think it'll be a while.
You know, as Tomlin would say, living in my fears. But, you know, it just seems like a real possibility to me. There have been well-documented incidents involving the misuse of the autopilot feature on Teslas.
Yes.
Right? And there's also been some pretty well-noted and reported instances of autonomous vehicles doing things that they didn't expect they would do.
So
they're still working on it.
Remember, you've heard of RoboTaxi first here. I expected Elon Musk will make that announcement official today. And he loves Pittsburgh, apparently, all of a sudden. With Anchorman Paul Rasmussen, we continue to get updates on Hurricane Milton. And we're going to go live to Tampa. Great friend, Pittsburgher, Central Catholic grad, and a well-known sports journalist primarily is living in Tampa, has been for the last few years. Mike Gallagher, who spent a lot of time also in Erie, Pennsylvania. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. It's great to be talking to you.
Well, yes, just great that we could, A, make contact. I know that your kids drove up to Erie and you had to hunker down taking care of some pets. So describe what happened overnight.
Well, we've been without power for going on about 10 hours, where I'm at. But we did really well. I've got some branches down, a little overflow of the pool, but nothing got into the house. It's still too dark to truly assess what we're in for once the sun comes up. But friends that are closer to the city, and more in particular friends in St. Petersburg, got it bad. Now, the fortunate thing was is that where the eye of the storm hit, it pulled the water out of Tampa Bay and didn't bring a 15-foot wall of water into Tampa Bay. But there was 20, they're saying in excess of 20 inches of rain. I know we must have had at least a foot of rain exactly where I'm at. And at one point in St. Pete, they said it was falling 5 inches an hour. And there's just so much flooding. I know they don't have water or flushing toilets in most parts of St. Petersburg and St. Pete Beach. I don't know if you saw or not, but the Tropicana Superdome, the roof is in shambles of the dome. And we just approved for a new stadium to be built, which isn't going to be done for several years. And looking at the images we're seeing of Tropicana Field, I don't know how you repair this. And, you know, but granted, where your baseball team's playing next year may not be your biggest concern at this point, but fortunate in many ways, but still fingers crossed as the sun's going to come up here shortly and we're going to really see what we're in for.
Mike, I'm curious to know, I know that there was a flash flooding emergency in the Tampa region for several hours. Is that still a problem this morning at this hour?
It is, because the sewage system got so inundated with overflowing rivers and creeks and 20 inches of rain falling in that 24-hour period or less. And it is a problem. Even where I'm at north of the city, our flash flood alarms were going off, before the eye wall even came on shore. And then that was the thing. When the outer bands of this thing started hitting the state, they were supercells. And they created these massive tornadoes going up and down the state. So every 2 seconds you're getting, tornado warnings on your phone, on your TV, telling you to hunker down. So you don't know where these things are. You just know it's raining like crazy. They're telling you that there's so much rain you can't see the tornadoes, so assume there's one. So it was just this, it really was probably 10 or 12 hours of just harrowing, like, oh, goodness, what are we in for?
And for those that don't know, Tampa is the lightning capital of the world to begin with, but tornado outbreaks like this are very rare.
I should have known watching that Steeler game the other night that I was in for a treat. I'm seeing the lightning over Acrisure Stadium. I was like, wow, that's just amazing. Look at those great photos that Dave DiCello got. I was all excited. And then we get lit up by this hurricane. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not going to like lightning so much anymore.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time this morning. Glad you're safe. And good luck with
the
assessment.
And I got to tell you, from being on the air with you and Paul the other day, I literally have hundreds of messages. Hundreds.
Sorry about that, Mike.
No, it's actually a great thing. And all I'm saying is, this was a little bit scary, is go into your phone, look up people, and imagine they have a Cat 5 hurricane headed their way, and reach out to them the way everybody in the Pittsburgh area reached out to me. Because now looking in through my phone, it's pretty special.
All right, Mike. Well, again, thank you, brother.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you later. Mike Gallagher in Tampa.
Great relief that the Tampa-St. Pete area was spared a direct hit. But on the flip side, we have Sarasota-Bradenton. It went in at Siesta Key. There's no telling what that storm did to the barrier islands. You know, Anna Maria Island, Siesta Key, all through their beautiful, beautiful area.
I've fallen in love with that place. It's so beautiful. And I've just... heart-wrenching to see all these people that are dealing with, in many cases, catastrophic damage. And just like we saw with Helene, especially in the north, in the Carolinas and Tennessee, Georgia, but they are not affected this time. This is the double whammy for the people on the Gulf in particular. And now Milton is just moving off the coast on the Atlantic side and is expected to continue to move east out into the open ocean.
And it is going to create a 3 to 5 foot storm surge in its wake from basically Jacksonville south past, say, Daytona, maybe even a little further up, maybe.
Yeah, we're going to check in with meteorologist Joe Lumberg next to get an exact update on details and what they expect next.
Milton, Category 1 storm now northeast of Cape Canaveral, Florida, so it's out over the water and starting to pull away, and we look at the radar and we see that the last of the rain bands still probably have a couple more hours to go to clear the east coast of Florida. So Daytona Beach down toward the Melbourne area still getting hit pretty hard with some strong winds gusting to 50 to 60 miles per hour and some pretty intense rains like the Daytona Beach area. Last 3 hours alone, they've had over 4 inches of rain, so it's still pounding those areas, but again, those should start to move offshore here in the next couple of hours, and then after that, most of the rain's done for the state of Florida.
Joe, what can you tell us about the number of tornadoes in central Florida from landfall forward?
I think there was over a dozen at last count, and some of those were pretty devastating. I think there were some fatalities from them as far as I know. And that was just another one of those aspects of a landfalling hurricane you don't necessarily think about. But typically with such strong winds, when they run into the frictional forces of the land, it's very easy to see spin-ups of tornadoes, and we see this commonly. And this was one of those things that happened again in Hurricane Milton. over South Florida.
Yeah, and Fort Pierce, ironically, a building housing all these emergency vehicles collapsed, and now they can't utilize those, and it was due to one of those tornadoes.
Yeah, it just adds to the devastation that they had associated with Milton. Over 3 million customers now across the Florida Peninsula are in the dark without power as a result of the strong winds from Milton. As bad as it is and was, it could have been worse. Had this been a 4 or 5 when it made landfall, I think the devastation would have been that much worse. And it went in south of the Tampa area, I think Siesta Key, about 8:30 last night. Had it gone north of Tampa, the storm surge there would have been absolutely devastating. It was still bad, especially down in the Sarasota and Venice areas, but it could have been worse. But they actually had a little bit of a blowout for a while in the Tampa Bay area because of the strong east and northeast winds on the north side of the storm for a time.
Joe, appreciate the update. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Meteorologist Jill Lundberg at AccuWeather Headquarters.
And as you mentioned earlier, this storm pulled water out of Tampa Bay because of where it was positioned south of the city.
I saw a video, and it's stunning. You can't imagine the power and force it would take to literally suck all that water out of Tampa Bay, where you could see things on the, you know, what would have been covered by water. I mean, it's unimaginable.
What I watched on television before I turned it off for the night, I had a weather reporter in front of, I think it was a river near the coast, and that river had great big white caps, I mean 2 and 3 feet high, right at the edge of the grassy area where this reporter was doing his thing. He actually had a helmet on that took a hit from some piece of flying debris. Thank goodness he had that thing on, but he was clearly in very dangerous conditions. And to see that water being whipped up to that, and this is hours, I would say at least 3 hours before landfall, maybe two.
Well, the light of day approaching, and we'll get an update on damage left behind now as Milton moves off the coast of Florida. Coming up in our next hour, we'll have more information as the light of day will reveal the damage of Hurricane Milton. And also coming up, details on former President Barack Obama coming to Oakland and the Pitt campus. And obviously stumping for Kamala Harris. Former President Trump was in Reading in Pennsylvania, and particular southwestern Pennsylvania continued to be a very important element of this campaign for both parties.
I happened to run across the feed live on X of the rally in Reading, and was surprised to see that at that particular moment, and I think it was well into the rally, like a couple hundred thousand people were watching live. Amazing.
You know, the times we live in for our own stream that you can get free with our Audacy app, AUDACY, you get digital quality. I had somebody say, "Hey, Larry, I listen, you know, I'm in the car. I listen." I said, "Well, you know, we're on FM too." And he goes, "What?" I said, "Yeah, 100.1 FM. And I said, "You can download our free Audacy app and stream." Streaming is becoming as popular. And I'll tell you who it's affecting most is television, because there are ways to stream, to your point, events that they're doing their own thing, and they're getting a lot of traction if it's a big name. Obviously, former President Trump gets that kind of attention, and Elon Musk or whoever, some stars and celebrities, they kind of create their own shows, and it's all online.
Give you an idea of how successful some people have been in leaving network reporting or coverage or commentary. Two people I can think of right off the top of my head. One is Catherine Herridge, who was let go by CBS, and she now has her own reporting apparatus on X, and people subscribe. Hundreds of thousands of people are subscribing. Tucker Carlson used to be with Fox. They let him go. He's been putting out his own videos, these long, pretty long, an hour and a half interviews with people. But some of these videos are picking up as many as 25 million views, Larry. That's far more than he got on Fox.
It's actually remarkable technology. We got to figure this out, Paul.